We are so glad that you are here. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, contact information, check the appropriate boxes, then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We are certainly thankful for your efforts helping us with that. We do ask that when it gets to that last person on the pew, if you could, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning, and then that first person, just tear out the pages that were used today. That'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Several things listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Normal schedule with a couple of changes. We are having the Dulcimer Festival this coming Friday and Saturday evening. The church will be full of people and want you to know about that event. Also, next week is Music Sunday. Looking forward to our music ministry leading us in worship. Let's see. Today is the deadline for our youth. We are participating in Impact Winston-Salem, which is a countywide effort to reach out with the love of Christ and do mission projects through around the city. We've already had several sign up already today, but that sign up is due today. You can sign up on the website, on the youth website. If you have any questions, you can look there or talk to me. Also, this week is our exam pack week. We'll be heading out in the next couple of weeks and visiting all our college students around the state as they are in the middle of exams. We need homemade or store-bought goodies to go in the exam packs. I like chocolate cake, cookies, that's fine. I like to sample them before I put them in the exam pack. It's very, very important. We'll be making those tonight. If you're able to provide those, we can take them up until about 5:30 this evening. And then the youth will be helping me put those together, and we'll be traveling over the next couple of weeks visiting those. So up to 50 store-bought or homemade, individually wrapped is what we prefer. We certainly appreciate all those who are help us make those exam packs possible. Let's see. We are having children's time. Reminder to our kids to come meet me just a minute. Michael Groover, come on down. I think other things are listed there in your bulletin, including our softball schedule, other things that are listed. But Michael has a very important announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm sure both all of you know we did our Boston Butt Cook-Off this weekend. Just want to thank everybody here for all your support. We cooked 194 Boston Butts. We cooked, manufactured 32 gallons of barbecue sauce. Unbelievable, unbelievable. We had a great time. We had a lot of fellowship. Everything went really smoothly. The numbers are still kind of rough. We've got some expenses that we haven't completely finished out yet, but we feel like we're going to earn right around $4,000 to put towards the scoreboard in the gym. So y'all are clapping for that. Y'all are clapping for us. We want to thank you. It's you guys who did it for us. You guys supported us. All y'all back here, you supported us. You helped us. And we're just extremely, extremely appreciative of everything that you guys and this church has done for us. If you got one of the butts, they were great. You enjoyed it. Talk to one of the RAs. Talk to one of the GAs. Talk to one of the parents. They're the ones who did it. They did a super great job, and I can't say enough about the support that we got from all of you as the church and all of them as the helpers that we needed. So thank you guys very much. You made it quite successful. Thank you.
Thank you to Michael, to all the RA leaders, the GA leaders, the RAs, the GAs. There's a lot of effort put into that. A lot of people who spent many hours here over this weekend. So thankful to all those who made that a part. Speaking of fundraisers, we've got one coming up. Our youth, our dinner and a show. A couple years ago, we had a dinner and a show, a night in the city. This time it's called Down Home Country. It is going to be May 18th and 19th. We're going to start selling tickets in the next week. We want you to start getting excited, getting ready. You need your neighbors to come. This is an amazing event put on by our teenagers and their families. It's going to be a special time. We hope that you're going to be a part of that. You'll see signs all around the church, and you'll be hearing more from our teenagers in the next couple of weeks. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are blessed by your presence in worship today. We would like to give something to you. You've already given us your information, and we're thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find the newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. You know, thinking about that fundraiser, I came up here Friday night, and there were all the RAs and GAs, and they had their gloves on, and they had the spices, and they were just going to town, getting those pork butts ready to be cooked, prepared. They had to be spiced just right. And some of them put a little bit more spice on than others. But what it was an amazing time to watch how the adults, whether they were their parents or not, impact these children, teaching them something as simple as spicing food. And I was struck as to how grateful I am the adults that are in our church that prepare our children. That is a very important thing, the adults in the lives of our children. Whether you're a parent or a grandparent, a prayer partner, or just a concerned adult, I am thankful for the adults that prepare our children. But God prepares us. We are His children to do great and mighty things. He has given us everything we need. It's our choice as to what we do with it. As we come to worship today, what will you let God do with you where you are? Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, as we stop to consider all the things that you have done for us in days gone by, all the ways that you have taught us, prepared us, molded us to be more like Christ, we are reminded today that you have called us to live that out. And in living it out, we come to worship you. We come to say thank you for all that you have done, for who you are, mighty and powerful, creator, sustainer of life. You are worthy of our praise. And we come this morning offering our very lives. Hear us as we pray. Hear us as we worship. Hear us as we learn and proclaim your word. Hear us. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Turn the mic on. I think I hear myself. Okay. There's a few more coming. A lot of money that you guys raised. Was that a lot of hard work? A lot of hard
work. Yes. Even the adults get scared of something. I want to tell you the story.
And everybody looking
this way. Everybody looking this way. This is what I mean. I want you to think for me just a minute. That was this, let's say there's this guy at school.
It's not me.
I'm not in school anymore. There's this guy. He's at school and he's got,
well, everybody knows he's like a bully. What's a bully do? What's a bully do? Beats people up. Every single day, says bad things about them. That's what, well, there's a story in the Bible about this guy. It's about Paul. How do you know all of, oh, did you pay attention this morning? There you go, Pastor Raymond. You got three people at least that were paying attention at 9 o'clock service this morning. All right? But here's the question.
Here's the question.
There was a guy named Saul who became Paul, and he had this reputation of beating people up and hurting them because they believed in Jesus. Well, guess what? God had a different plan in mind for him.
God said, I'm going to make this guy is going to be the guy that tells the whole world about Jesus.
What
is he talking about? Yeah, exactly. And there's this other guy, Ananias. And God said, now look, there's this guy named Saul.
I want you. I have blinded him. I've tried to get his attention. And I want you to go pray with him. Now, if you were asked to go pray with the bully in your school, what would you do?
I would run
the other way. That's exactly right. Ananias said the same thing. He said, now look, God, are you sure? Now, I've heard about this guy, and he's not the nicest guy ever. But God said, go, with an exclamation point. You go, I will be with you. And sometimes we have to do stuff, and we don't always understand why. Ananias said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, even though I'm scared. I know that you are going to take care of me. And what did Ananias do? He went, and he prayed, and he actually baptized Paul.
He
gave him back his eyesight. All of a sudden, he could see again because Ananias had the faith and he wasn't scared to do what God asked him to do. Sometimes you and I get scared even when we know it's what God wants us to do. I want you to remember Ananias and what he did for Paul. If he hadn't done that for Paul, we wouldn't have a lot of things that we read in the New Testament. And Paul wouldn't done what he would not have been able to do what he
if Ananias
didn't do. So, don't be afraid.
God's with you. You pray with me? Let's pray.
God, we love you. And we thank you for the example that we have in Ananias, who even though it was scary to confront Saul, who became Paul, you gave him the courage. Help us to have that same amount of courage.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good night. You sit down.
You know, Psalm 30 has within it that wonderful verse that tells us, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I tell you what, we're just so thankful. So if you will hear this before our bell ringers lead us in worship. From Psalm 30, if you'd like to follow along, and that's on page 394. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I call to you for help and you healed me. You brought me from the grave and spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing and removed my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever.
If you were here yesterday afternoon picking up one of the smoked pork butts, you were treated to some pretty tantalizing aromas. But in addition to that, you were treated to some pretty magical sights and sounds. And Jeff and I did not collaborate on this, but I thought it was pretty magical to see all the children who were here running around for those, I don't know how long they'd been here, hours. But they were here laughing, joking, playing. They were also working. They were fetching things back and forth as they needed to for the adults. One of our young men was even pushing that big industrial-sized vacuum cleaner through Smith Hall yesterday afternoon. So I thought it was pretty amazing that of all the places they could have chosen to be or might have wanted to be, they were here. They were happy. They were excited. And even though I'm not a parent, I want to thank each and every one of you for the role you play in supporting, for being part of the village that is raising all these children. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for who you are. Lord, we have only to look outside and see the flowers, the trees, the grass. And we know that you are Lord God Almighty, our most holy, holy God. Father, help us to keep our eyes always fixed on you as our creator, the giver of every good gift. Help us to be generous now as we give back to you part of what you have given to us. Father, help us to open our eyes to the way you would have us to use these gifts to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, I was blind, I could not see in thy mild visage any grace, but now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Lord, I was deaf, I could not hear the thrilling music of thy voice, but now I hear thee and rejoice, and all thine uttered words are dear. Lord, I was dumb, I could not speak the grace and glory of thy name, but now is touched with living flame, my lips thine eager praises wake. Lord, I was dead, I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to thee, but now since thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. For thou hast made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the dead to live, and lo, you break the chains of my captive.
I appreciate Jeff's comments and Karen's comments and Michael Groover's announcement. And in that process, I was sitting there thinking about those that were here during the course of the cook. And there's some others that you need to know were here. Andrew Owsley was here every time I came by and was kind of railroading that crowd. Charlie Jones was here. And you go, well, those aren't parents of RAs and GAs. And I guess that's my point. They are parent alumni of the RA and GA club. You know, their children have already gone through the RAs and GAs here at College Park. And yet they value that experience. So they come and they help give leadership to a new group of parents that are coming along. So Andrew and Charlie, wherever you are, if you're joining by internet or wherever you are this morning, we really do appreciate it. And all the others, you know, you hesitate to start naming names, but we really appreciate not just the cooking, it's the interaction, as Karen said. It's the fact that our children know that when they come to church, they're learning things, they're contributing, they're a part of this body, and that's really important, as you know. I also want to say a word about next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning is Music Sunday. It will be in both services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and music will be somewhat different between those services, so that over the course of the 2 or 3 hours next week, you will see a wide range of variety of music and different people singing and playing and those type of things. So I invite you, and next Sunday is an especially good Sunday. If you have a friend who doesn't want to come to church because they don't like preachers, next Sunday is the day. I mean, it is your golden opportunity because there will be no preaching except, well, you know, as they say, the music can say things that preachers never can quite communicate. And through the music, you will indeed be blessed to hear God's word proclaimed through music. So come and be a part of that and invite those who might have, all kidding aside, might have a great appreciation for music, and that might be a way that you can help them connect to this wonderful group of believers. John Milton grew up in a home that was made quite comfortable by his father's success as a scrivener, or someone who wrote law. Milton studied Latin, he studied Italian, as well as English, and later on became a foreign language secretary for Oliver Cromwell. Milton was born in 1608. He traveled to Italy, he traveled to France, where as a young man, he met Galileo. The vistas that were open to John Milton through his wealth, through the political connections, must have seemed truly endless to him, especially at a young age. But Milton's life was forever altered when in 1651, at the age of 43, he became blind. This man who had written biting political commentary as well as religious polemics turned inward and began to reflect. And out of his reflections came some beautiful poetry. It's from this later period in Milton's life that he wrote the epic work, Paradise. It's interesting that Paradise Lost is perhaps one of the most extra scriptural works ever quoted. Matter of fact, some people will quote to me Paradise Lost and say, well, you know, it says in the Bible so-and-so. I say, actually, no, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It says in Paradise Lost. But it's good to know that you've read both because they truly have, you know, something to contribute. But it is a highly recognized, quote, religious Christian body of work. Also, he wrote a lot of sonnets during this later part in his life. And one sonnet is particularly reflective of his life circumstance. And the title of that sonnet is On His Blindness. As you might guess, the sonnet is Milton's reflection on the psychology of becoming blind. In the sonnet, he struggles to find meaning, and in doing so, he asks God what God expects of him. He learns through the process that God does not need human works. God's works proceed because they are God's works. The closing line of the sonnet is Milton's hopeful reflection when he says, "They also serve who only stand and wait." Milton could have given up, finding in his blindness the excuse or the final break between a life of public purpose and a life of crushing disability. But instead, he owned his blindness and he used it as a way of seeing, ironically, seeing life in a different way. And in doing so, he became one of the greatest poets of our time, or all time. He wrote, "They also serve who only stand and wait." Today's lesson comes from Acts, and it concerns a man named Saul who, like John Milton, is stricken blind at the height of his powers. I want you to join me in reading if you have your Bible there. If not, there should be a pew Bible close by. We'll be reading from Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, I'll be reading verses 1 through 20. As Jeff has outlined, it is a familiar story, but I think there's a few nuggets in there that we can pull out and kind of have some application this morning that may be a little bit different. Beginning in verse 1, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way being what? Jesus, right, those who were followers of Jesus. If there were any there that were found belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. And placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. We first hear about Saul in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, where he is present at the execution of Stephen. Stephen was a deacon, well known, well respected, and ultimately was martyred for his faith. Some say that, well, Saul was there and he saw what happened to Stephen, so it affected him. Well, yeah, it affected him. 2 verses later, we read where Saul is functioning as an army of one, chief of the thought police, if you will, and he's going from house to house. Scripture says, ravaging the church by entering house after house and dragging off both men and women and putting them in prison. Saul is on the fast track for becoming persecutor of the year, or as Jeff would say, bully of the local school. I mean, he's not the kind of guy you want to cross. That is up until the point where he decided to take his little crusade to Damascus. Saul is not invincible, despite what his intended victims may have believed. He is armed with warrants. We know that from this passage. He has warrants that were signed by the high priest, empowering him to round up Jesus' followers and then take them back to Jerusalem for trial. That's what his task is. But as he's going down the road, on the way to Damascus, he is literally blinded in his tracks. He's stopped in his tracks and blinded. Now, some may argue that he was already spiritually blind, but let me throw this out to you. I think we need to understand a little bit about Saul's background. He was a good Pharisee. He was a committed Pharisee. I'm sure in his own mind, he was fully convinced that he was truly doing God's will by seeking to erase this new heresy from the face of God's good earth. And he was going about it quite energetically. And see, that brings up a point to me. And believers, listen with discerning ears. Compare what you hear to God's word. Because you could argue, well, Paul was certainly very sincere in what he did. Yes, he was. Just as some today are very sincere in what they may believe, that does not make it true. You can be sincerely wrong. The two are not synonymous. So believers, be on your guard. Test everything against God's word. Saul, in his zealous pursuit of cleansing Israel of what he thought was a cancer, suddenly has God revealed to him. Saul hears this voice. The voice is identified of that of Jesus. Yes, the same Jesus that he's trying to wipe out all of their followers, the same guy. And Jesus asked him, Saul, why do you persecute me? There's an interesting thing that happens next. For all of his knowledge of Scripture and for all that he professes to know about God, he did not recognize who was speaking to him. Yet as he asks who is addressing him, he uses the title Lord. Verse 5, who are you, Lord? Isn't that interesting? The Greek word here is kurios, which means one who wields authority for good. That's what it means literally. One who wields authority for good. This is not a typo, okay? It's not a typo here. In chapter 22 of Acts, when Saul, now Paul, is recounting what happened on that day, he uses the same phrase and title. And in chapter 2's recounting of this event, after Jesus identifies himself, Paul asks, what shall I do, Lord? First he wanted to know who he was, then what shall I do? And in both accounts, the voice now identified as Jesus tells him, get up and enter the city, it says in chapter 9, in chapter 22, it identifies it specifically as Damascus. Get up, enter the city, and you will be told what to do. Now Saul's companions, they lead him to Damascus, where he languishes for 3 days, blind, not eating, not drinking. And try to imagine his frame of mind, if you can. Try to imagine as he waits there. I mean, you could have made a movie called Helpless in Damascus. I mean, because he has no purpose at this point. He's trying to figure out what he's going to do. He is a soldier. He is, in his mind, a God messenger. He is a carrying out the will of God, albeit misinformed and misdirected. He's been blinded by the truth in the person of Jesus Christ. He's a soldier without sight. There's no Braille for reading in Hebrew. There's no public works project that's made Damascus easily accessible for visually impaired. There are no guide dogs. There are no laser surgeries. Blind is blind at that point. So how can he possibly salvage his independence? How can he possibly persecute people he can't even see? And did he really hear that voice correctly? And should he even try to continue persecuting those that he thought were hurting the God that he was trying to serve? So many questions. As promised, though, a disciple living in Damascus comes to Saul's aid. The man, Ananias, is no fool, and he tries to avoid the assignment. Well, yeah, as Jared said, I would run. Yes, maybe we would run. Maybe we would. Saul's notoriety had preceded him, and it was not a good reputation. Ananias is told by the Lord, though, go to Saul, because I've got plans for him, Saul, and you're a part of that. Be obedient. Ananias is the first one to hear that Saul is an instrument chosen by the Lord to bring the Lord's name, quote, before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. In short, Ananias does his part. He gets it done. And he acts as an instrument of God's plan and peace, and he places his hands on Saul and clearly identifies himself as working for the Lord. You remember, Saul, the guy that talked to you on the road? That's why I'm here. That's the only reason I'm here. It's because he asked me, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. And then Ananias identifies what Saul's future is going to look like. What's it going to look like? He says, Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Saul, you're going to see again, but this time you're going to see physically and spiritually. his priorities are now completely revised. Saul is baptized. He spends time with the disciples, learning. This man who knew all the Hebrew scriptures is now learning from the disciples of Jesus. And the rest, they say, is history. And it's an incredible history. As this fellow named Saul, now Paul, aggressively preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as zealously, as he had once sought to destroy this very same news from heaven. What a difference an encounter with Jesus makes. What a difference. Before that 3-day period, Saul had to learn patience with his new disability. Maybe he was preparing for blindness to be permanent. And yet, when his sight is restored, Saul completes the transformation from persecutor to proclaimer. Saul's encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road becomes a credential for his apostleship. You say, Raymond, that's a great story. And it is. But what about us? What does this say to us, living so far removed from this event 2,000 years plus? What about us who have so much difficulty acknowledging the faith we profess? What about us who get so impatient when it seems like God's going to make us wait to do something? What about us when we ask God what it is we're supposed to do, and he says, I'll tell you in a little while. In the meantime, watch and learn. Could it be said that Milton maybe had something when he said, they also serve who only stand and wait? Is there learning that can take place in the waiting? I would say this morning, thank you, John Milton, for waiting through blinded eyes for your great vision of the cost and the consequence of faith. I would say thank you, Saul of Tarsus, for doing as you were told, remaining and waiting to see what the Lord had in mind. I would say thank you, God, for the gift of transformation that catches us up short and helps each of us in our own small way to be Christ witnesses. I would say thank you, Lord Jesus, one who wields authority for good. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the power to give witness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we be faithful in doing so. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, from the life of Saul, we learn what it means to wait sometimes. We learn what it means to be corrected when we go astray, when we lose our path, when we get off the path that glorifies you. Father, we learn what it means from John Milton's life as he took what seemed to be a crippling disability and turned it into something was quite magnificent. All of these have one thing in common, and that is your purposes, your plans for our lives. So we pray that as we foolishly pursue our own course, that you would correct us, steer us back onto track, showing us what it is that you have for us to do as we recognize who you are, that we would also recognize what it is that you would have us to do. Father, as we recognize your work going on all around us, we pray that you would allow us the privilege of joining in that work and giving you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, I challenge you this morning. This is an opportunity that God has placed before you to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. We're going to stand and we're going to sing in just a moment. And as we sing, first of all, I pray that you will take the words and make them your testimony, your offering to God. That you will make it your recommitment to His purposes. But if you're here and you're not a believer, I'm going to be at the front. I'd be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are here and it is a time of recommitment for you to refocus and to get your path back online with God, you can certainly do that where you are, or I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you here. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this fellowship, it's a wonderful group of believers, from children's cooking barbecue to everything, missions and everything going on in between. It is a wonderful group of believers, and we invite you to be a part of that. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to speak with you. Whatever your decision, I invite you to stand now as we sing together. Thank you for those who are here. Father, you knew from the beginning of time this would be those who are present. And this is your message to us. Father, we pray that it would change us, that it would shape who we are as we go from this place. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.